During this campaign, we've spoken with several third-party candidates who are running for president. Today, we talk with another former Congresswoman, Cynthia McKinney, the nominee of the Green Party. In 1993, she became the first African-American woman to represent Georgia in the House of Representatives. If you have questions for Cynthia McKinney about her Green Party candidacy for president, give us a call. Our number, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Of course, Ken Rudin is still with us here at the museum, and Cynthia McKinney joins us now from the Full Moon and High Tide studios in El Segundo, California. And Congresswoman McKinney, good to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Thank you very much for inviting me to be with you.
And could you tell us what your goal is in this campaign for president?
Well, basically, let me sort of bring you up to speed as to when all of this started and how it started. Basically, last year on my birthday, March 2007, I spoke in front of the Pentagon, and there I noted that with the Democratic majority in Congress, there were many things that were possible. But unfortunately, they hadn't happened. So there was no push to provide a livable wage. There was no repeal of the Bush tax cuts. There was no repeal of the Patriot Act, the Secret Evidence Act, the Military Commissions Act. We hadn't even had any movement on a single-payer health care system, yet we were standing in front of the Pentagon that had admitted that it had lost $2.3 trillion, and yet the Congress was poised to provide even more money to the Pentagon in its annual budget, and unfortunately, even more money for war and occupation. And so I noted that the Democratic leadership had become complicit with the rest of our leadership in torture, war crimes, crimes against humanity, and crimes against the peace. And at that point, then, I decided to declare my independence from that national leadership. And in so doing, I didn't even realize that I was following in the footsteps of people 100 years ago who also declared their independence from the political order of their day. That order of that day was the fact that women didn't have the right to vote. And 300 people, 260 women and 40 men, gathered in a room, and they also declared their independence from the political order. It took them 72 years, but they eventually gained the right to vote for women in this country.
And the challenge
for us now is that we understand that we must treat our workers better, we must treat our seniors better. It is inexcusable that we have a Democratic majority in Congress, we have a national leadership that is coalesced around certain issues, that they are willing to spend $720 million every day for war and occupation, and yet when young people decide that they want to go to college and get a college education, some of them end up $90,000 in debt, as is the case with my own cousin.
And we thank you for that. What are you hoping to accomplish in this presidential election?
Basically, what we understand is that the people need an opportunity to hear a different set of issues discussed, and we need to broaden the political discourse. When there's basic agreement on certain issues, for example, there's agreement between the two major parties, the two corporate parties, as we call them, with respect to the continued funding for the war and occupation. We have both Democrats and Republicans talking about war, the surging now in Afghanistan. No one's talking about decreasing the Pentagon's budget. How is it?
Congresswoman McKinney, please, with respect, what are you hoping to accomplish? You're not going to be elected president of the United States. I'll be so bold. So what are you trying to hope to accomplish for the Green Party here?
We're broadening the political discourse, and we're representing those people and their values who have been locked out of the two-party paradigm. What I've been able to see as I've traveled across this country is that there is a community of people across this country who no longer believe in the two-party paradigm. I have found them, and they have found me. In fact, just this past weekend, I sat on a panel with one person who has never registered to vote in his entire life because he didn't really believe in voting. But he registered to vote, and he already voted for the Green Party because of the issues that are articulated by Rosa Clemente, my running mate, and me.
You say as you've traveled the country, we've not seen you in the eastern part of the United States since, I think, August.
Well, actually, if you haven't seen me, it's because you weren't looking.
Possibly.
But I traveled up and down the eastern seaboard. I've been all the way up from Georgia to Maine several times, and I've been from Georgia to Texas by car. I've been from Texas to the America's heartland by car with stops in between.
Okay.
So I'm sorry
that
you missed
us.
But we've been there.
A question from Ken Rudin.
Congresswoman, three things. First of all, how many states' ballots are you on? And also, since third-party candidates are not ever allowed to be in the presidential debates, how does the Green Party get its voice heard if nobody sees you in the debates when hundreds of millions of people tune in?
That's a very good question. The Green Party has activists who basically are committed to trying as best as they can to overcome the problems with ballot access in this country. It is extremely pitiful to me that we have to struggle to collect signatures, and we have a different set of rules that govern the ability of voters to see the names of those who are on the ballot governing the Democratic and Republican parties, as opposed to, for example, the Constitution Party, the Libertarian Party, and the Green Party as well. So we're on 32 ballots across this country. People in 17 states can write in my and Rosa's names. And so, write-in candidacies are very difficult. But, of course, we still try to utilize the opportunities that are provided on the Internet, alternative press, corporate media,
Here's an email
and folks
question,
like you guys, yes, right, to get our message out.
Here's an email question from Juan. Will Cynthia McKinney participate in tomorrow's debate in Washington, D.C. at the Mayflower Renaissance Hotel? Ralph Nader and Chuck Baldwin, who's got the support of Ron Paul, are participating.
That's a very good question. In fact, I participated in the only debate that had been organized by entities that were not associated at all with either of the political parties. Unfortunately, the debate that's been organized tomorrow is a Ralph Nader debate. And it's been organized by Nader. He selected the date, selected the format, or at least his campaign operatives did. And so that is not something that I am prepared to participate in at this moment, no.
All right, let's get a caller on the line. And this is Daniel. And Daniel with us from Greensboro in North Carolina.
Yes, thank you.
Go ahead, please.
This part of my concern is the fact that in our state, North Carolina, we can't really write in a third-party candidate. There is a space for us to do that, but from what my understanding is that if I was to write in Cynthia McKinney or some other person as a third-party candidate, this state doesn't count it. So I have no other choice to either choose either the Democrat or Republican candidates, which I may not agree with both of them, instead of choosing a third-party candidate that supports my belief and value system. And that's part of my frustration with third-party candidates in this country.
And I'm sure you're encountering that in many places other than North Carolina, Congresswoman McKinney.
Well, actually, that's very interesting because I traveled to North Carolina, and we actually turned in the signatures that were required, I think a little over 2,000 signatures that were required for us to be able to become a write-in candidate for the state of North Carolina. So it's somewhat disconcerting to me to learn that those write-in votes will not be counted. It's my understanding that in 2004, when there were write-in candidates, those votes were counted. And it was every indication was given to me that my votes were counted. But the caller raises an interesting point. And that is the whole notion of what happens to our votes after we cast them. Of course, we know that we've had problems, and I understand that your next show, you're going to talk about election integrity. But that is something that hasn't really been discussed enough as we are leading up to November 4th, because in 2000, Black people went to the polls across this country and voted their hearts and dreams and their values to get rid of to make sure that no Bush administration came into being. And yet, across this country, 1 million blacks saw that their votes were disfranchised. They were not even counted. In 2004, John Kerry made a commitment that we would not see a repeat of what happened in 2000. And guess what happened? He conceded the very next day. Not only were blacks disfranchised, but in the 2004 election, we had a situation where 3 million votes were cast, but they were not even counted.
Daniel.
Now we've got 2008 with the voter ID laws and the voter caging. And what is the situation going to be in 2008? I'm proud to say that I've signed the Standing for Voters Pledge, which makes sure that I will not do anything to state whether or not I accept the election results until all reports of disfranchisement have been investigated.
Daniel, thanks very much for the call. We're talking with Cynthia McKinney, the presidential candidate of the Green Party, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Ken?
Congresswoman Ralph Nader has said over and over again, and he said this for many years, that he sees no differences between Democrats and Republicans, Democratic and Republican presidential nominees. Do you see no difference between Barack Obama and John McCain?
I think that the American people can very much see the differences that exist between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. We've had 8 years of the Republican Party, so we know that the Republican Party is not good for America. And in fact, I believe the latest national polls indicate that 9% of the people in this country believe that the United States is on the wrong track. That can squarely be in the hands of the Republican Party.
But do you see a difference? Do you see a difference between the two candidates?
Well, you know, what I like to talk about are the things that the Green Party stands for and why it is important that people vote green. For example, we understand that the reason people participate in the political process is because they want to see their values represented in public policy. And to the extent that people value peace and not war, then I would hope that people would feel comfortable voting for peace and not war. People want to see social justice. People want to see environmental wisdom. People want to see grassroots democracy. Those are the pillars of the Green Party. Those are the values.
And I hate to interrupt again, but we just have a few seconds left. One email question, and we'll get to a phone call. This from Bob wants to know how Cynthia McKinney's platform differs from Ralph Nader's.
Well, first of all, I'm running as a part of the Green Party. The Green Party has over 200 elected officials on the local level across our country. And if we are in agreement that our country needs a movement for peace, a movement for justice. And as I talk about justice, let me not forget that we haven't had any discussion at all of the death penalty. And in my birth state of Georgia, we've got a young man who's sentenced for the death, sentenced to death, and has been scheduled to die, to be put to death by the state in a trial in which seven of the witnesses have now recanted their story, and some have said that they were coerced into making the testimony that they made in the trial. So how can we not have a discussion about the death penalty and social justice issues? These are the values of the Green Party.
Is Ralph Nader in favor of the death penalty? How is your program different from Ralph Nader's was the question.
I would invite people to visit our website, runcynthiarun.org, and there we have a platform. Our platform consists of an end to U.S. militarization, an end to the drug war, an end to the prison industrial complex, repeal of NAFTA, making sure that we have a single-payer healthcare system in this country. But I'm bolstered by the fact that we have 200 elected officials and a political party that has gone through the ropes of getting on the ballot in 32 states and that will exist on November 5th. The day after the election.
That's one quick question from Mary. Mary with us from Louisville in Kentucky.
Hi, Hi. My question to Congresswoman McKinney is, I have always associated the Green Party with environmental concerns. So I wonder, what, if any, initiatives did you support as a congresswoman that advanced environmental concerns?
And I have to beg you to answer within a minute, because that's all the time we have left.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, the singular piece of legislation pertaining to strictly to the environment that I introduced was the National Forest Protection and Restoration Act, which sought to ensure the continued protection and elimination from the threats of clear cutting of our national forests, and also, of course, making sure that we restored our national forests to their condition prior to the clear cutting that has existed on many of them, in fact, 95% of our national forests. But also, peace is an environmental issue, and so therefore, I always voted against the spending for the Pentagon. I voted against the war. I authored legislation to stop the use of depleted uranium munitions because of the health effects. I believe that the Green Party pursued me to become their candidate for president because of my environmental record.
Mary, thanks very much for the phone call. And Congresswoman McKinney, we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Cynthia McKinney, the Green Party candidate for president. Of course, our thanks, too, for Ken Rudin, our political junkie, who's with us every Wednesday. And our thanks to the Newseum for hosting us, as always. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.